Hello, Christina. We are here at the fourth. I think this is the fourth podcast of Bilderdenken, which means thinking about images, thinking with images. And that is actually what we will talk about today.
Hi, Bali. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for taking the time. I'll just start with just in the middle of things. So if you have to describe this year's forum program in one word, what would this be? Or one sentence, maybe.
I think it's very daring, experimental, playful, funny, weird, and exciting, and also intellectually demanding. That okay. Was one sentence.
That was one sentence, but a lot of words.
Yes, I know.
So
I'm teasing you.
Yes, this was not what I wanted to do with this question. Because I guess a program for a film festival is not just a collection of films, but also a program. So that was actually what I kind of tried to get at.
Yeah, of course it's a program. The thing is, when you start selecting, I think it's important not to have too many things on your mind, not to have too many ideas, because the very moment you have ideas and you start to watch films, you sort of tend to impose your ideas on the films you watch. And I think it should be the other way around. You watch films and then you start selecting, and slowly, slowly a program is born or comes into being. This coming into being is a process which is, in a way, an interaction between ideas and the films you watch. So it is only during the process of selecting films that certain ideas, certain leitmotifs manifest themselves. And I think this year, when we completed the selection, we could see that there were a couple of leitmotifs, some of them even interwoven, some of them apart from each other. I could, if you want to, I could proceed in talking a little bit about these leitmotifs.
Yeah, exactly. That would be my question. What are the leitmotifs then this year?
So I think one thing which is important is that we dedicate a certain space and time to films that question the fact that cinema oftentimes has the human being in its center. So we show films that try to remove from the human perspective. We show, for instance, a film from Portugal called Terra que Marca by Raul Domingues. It is a film which is very much focused on the ground, the soil, the plants, not only in nature, or to be more precise, not at all in nature itself, more in an agricultural space, but in an agricultural space which is still very non-industrial. So we see human beings, but most of the time we see parts of human beings working the soil, interacting with plants, interacting with tools to work the ground. So that is definitely a shift of perspective. We also have, for instance, After Water by Dana Comlian, which sets out as a film with human beings, students at the university going to class. But then these students move to a place in the countryside, to a lake, and they start to study the lake, the animals living there, the plants growing there. And slowly, slowly, they themselves turn into beings which are no longer apart from an environment they observe, but they become part of this environment. So this classical relationship between the human being as a subject that observes and researches an object, which is nature, environment in this case, shifts, and it's more like nature also becomes a subject, and the human being is no longer in charge of the relationship. And I think that is something we have been exploring beforehand. So, for instance, 2 years ago we showed Frem or Luz Nos Trópicos, films that also were working in that sphere. And I think also this year it is something which plays quite a role. Again, this is not so much because we want it to be like this. It's more because we have the feeling that filmmakers start to deal with what in theory is called the planetary turn, which is a part of knowledge production that deals with the situation in which we are living now, where it becomes crystal clear that if we continue the way we have been working and we have been exploiting the environment, then it's going to be a pretty bleak perspective for all human beings on the planet, for all beings on the planet. So we need to have a shift of perspective. And I think that is something which filmmakers start to tackle or have started to tackle. And I think that is important. And also given the fact that we tend to show films that are more freewheeling, experimental, playful, as I said before, I think that is also a subject matter which goes hand in hand with an approach which is more open, because the very moment you decenter a film, the very moment you step away from a human perspective, you need to experiment with new things, be it with new camera techniques, be it with new camera angles and new camera perspectives.
Mm-mm. I mean, that also fits kind of in a way with the way of the political, because that would be also something I would like to talk about with you, because Forum has this reputation of being political. And you just said that these ways of making films, or like these topic of films that is important this year, is also dealing with our situation, global situation.
Yeah, of course, the Forum, first and foremost, is dedicated to film. And that means that we are not like political activists, or that we want to hand out political messages, that we want to tell people what to think and whom to vote and how to be a political being. That's not what we're about to do. However, I think it is important to see that art forms and film are related in one way or the other to the time they are developed in. That also means that they are trying to find ways how to express this relationship with the present moment. And the present moment contains a lot of challenges when it comes to creating societies which are more just, which are more sustainable, which are less racist, less sexist, less anti-Semitic. So there's a lot to do, in fact. And of course, filmmakers are concerned by that. And then they find ways how to work these aspects into their films. One thing which is very important for us is that films that tackle political subject matters find ways to do so convincingly, and not, like, as I said before, simply conveying a certain message and then everybody has to believe it, but more like reflecting their own methods, creating a space in which you can think. I think that is important, that it's important to create a space in which you can think. And to give you one example, we have an essay film par excellence in the program called Nuclear Family by Aaron and Travis Wilkerson. And it's a road trip in the west of the United States. Aaron and Travis Wilkerson and their kids are traveling to places which are important in the history of nuclear armament of the US. So they travel to nuclear silos, they travel to places where a plutonium factory used to be, and by traveling, they are discovering how or which type of impact the story of nuclear armament had in the landscape. In the topography of places in Colorado, for instance, or Arizona, or California. And then slowly, they relate the history of the nuclear armament with the history of the 19th century of the extermination of the Native Americans. And that, of course, is in a certain way a very bold connection. On the other hand, it makes a lot of sense. It's this, how shall I put it? There is a certain tendency towards extermination. And of course, that is something very, very frightful to observe. And then again, they find a very convincing form, the road trip, a very, very bold use of voiceover to talk about this connection of the extermination of the Native Americans in the 19th century. And the nuclear armament in the 20th century. So that, to make it short, would be, in my eyes, a very, very interesting example of what political filmmaking can be today.
How would you describe like the difference in political filmmaking from today to the beginning of Forum? I mean, Forum was always also very concerned with film history, so it's always that it's not just like, you know, current program, but also film historical program.
Yeah. I mean, I think times have changed. Back then, there was a lot of activism going on, a lot of political militancy, and that also showed in the films. So in the beginning of the Forum, there were, for instance, a lot of films from the civil rights movement in the US, or films that sort of like dealt with the civil rights movement in the US. And today, of course, there is no longer a civil rights movement. There is something else. Maybe it has shifted to Black Lives Matter. So filmmakers no longer tend to be so militant like they used to be. And I think that reflects in films like we showed, like in Vincent Mason's Juste un Mouvement, which was a film from last year's selection, which is a film that opens up a lot of questions about the relationship between France and Senegal, militant filmmaking, because it's also a take on Jean-Luc Godard's La Chinoise, and it's an exploration of the biography of one of the actors in Godard's film, a Senegalese student who lived in Paris, and when he returned to Senegal, he was imprisoned and died in custody under circumstances which are pretty unclear. So what is very interesting in this film is that it is multi-layered and multifarious, and it explores relations, constellations. Also, China comes into play, not only because of the film by Godard, but also because of the soft power relationships that exist today between a country like Senegal and China. So it's more like an exploration, whereas 50 years ago, it was more about activism, I think. But that is also, I think that is definitely a sign of the times.
Yeah. To get back like to the leitmotifs, we had like human and non-human, we had political films. I mean, I guess the political is more something that goes through everything, so it's not maybe not a leitmotif. But what else would be this year's leitmotifs?
I'd like to add one small thing to the question of the political cinema. Yesterday, I was talking to Luciana Acuña and Alejo Mogilyansky, the directors of La Edad Media, The Middle Ages, a very beautiful film we have in the program. And they said that for them, it's important to make a fiction of the present moment. So to approach the present via the means of fiction, but sort of like to be dedicated to the present. And I found that very, very interesting as an observation. More leitmotifs. Interestingly, there are quite a lot of films done by couples. I already mentioned Nuclear Family by Aaron and Travis Wilkerson. There's also We Haven't Lost Our Way by Willem and Anka Sasnal, two Polish filmmakers who used to work together. So they've been working together before the pandemic. So it's not necessarily a result of the pandemic. But there are more. For instance, Matoseko Mjamas, Dry Ground Burning, by Adele Queiroz and Joana Pimenta. So three films by couples, or by two directors, let's put it like that, more neutral. And I found it interesting. My feeling was a little bit that maybe the pandemic that all forces us to work from home and that restricts our possibilities in many ways. Maybe that's a reason why people start to work with those who are closest to them. Well, that's a speculation. I don't know exactly.
Yeah, maybe it's also like this, that finally this whole like one film, the auteur thing is like getting a bit softened.
Yeah. I think that's a good point. I think the auteur thing is really something we need to talk about too. Then there is something which is related to literature. There are quite a lot of films that adapt literary texts, mostly in a very open and freewheeling manner. We would have, for instance, O Trio em Mi Bimol, The Kegelstadt Trio by Rita Acevedo Gomes, a Portuguese filmmaker, and she adapts a play from Eric Romer from the mid-80s, if I'm not mistaken. The play has the same name. The Kegelstadt Trio is the English title, and O Trio em Mi Bemol, the Portuguese title. And she transfers it to Portugal present tense situation. And her trick is to include a filmmaker who is like making a film of two people rehearsing the play. So that's her take on Eric Rohmer's play. Then we have the film I already mentioned from Poland, We Haven't Lost Our Way, by Willem and Anka Sasnal, which is a very free and loose adaptation of a novel by a Swedish author, P.C. Jerseld, I'm not completely sure, and which for me was like an attempt to see to what extent you can deconstruct storytelling and classical narration in a fiction film. They go very far, very interesting. Then there is a film by Eric Baudelaire, Une fleur à la bouche, A Flower in the Mouth, which is also related to a theater play, this time by Pirandello. But it starts off in a huge flower market in the Netherlands, in a place where all the flowers coming from East African countries, so East African countries like Kenya and Ethiopia, are places where a lot of flowers are grown on an industrial level. And they are exported to the Netherlands. And then there is this huge market where they are distributed. So the film sets off there with an extremely beautiful sequence, something like 20 minutes shot in that marketplace. And it's really breathtaking. So it's also a combination of documentary and fiction, close observation in the first part, and the literary part in the second. I could also mention a film by Mohamed Shadi Hassan, Egyptian filmmaker based in Berlin, Shall I Compare You to a Summer's Day, which has a sonnet by Shakespeare already in the title and which explores a lot of different types of poems, songs, etc., in an exploration of love, pleasure, friendship, sexuality, and polyamorous relationships. So there are quite a lot of films dedicated to explorations of literature. And last but not least, I think it's very important that we show a couple of films that in one way or the other talk about the pandemic situation we are living in.
That's kind of obvious, I guess, that people have to deal with it.
Yes. And I mean, it's very interesting because in the selection process, we also saw quite a lot of films that pretend like nothing happened. And then there are a lot of films where the pandemic is something in the background. Yes, people wear masks, but that's basically it. And then there are quite a lot of films that actively try to find a way to relate productively with the pandemic present we are trapped in. And I'd like to mention in this context Laida Media, The Middle Ages, a film I already mentioned before, because it's really beautiful and very funny and very playful, also very sad in certain moments. So it's basically a lockdown film about a family, the filmmakers themselves and their daughter and their dog, trapped in their house in Buenos Aires. Luckily, quite a big house with many levels. And then they start to explore what's happening. And of course, they create a fiction. They do not play themselves. They play characters which are close to themselves, but not identical. And I think that's really a very charming way. And also something which shows that people are able to overcome obstacles and are able to let their creativity thrive, even though there are many obstacles. And that was something I found deeply admirable. There are other films, for instance, For the Many, The Vienna Chamber of Labor by Konstantin Wolf. It's a documentary, pretty much observational documentary. And Konstantin Wolf started to shoot long before the pandemic broke out. And it's a portrait of this institution, the Chamber of Labor in Vienna, which is a place where the rights of employees are defended. So every time somebody is facing issues at his workplace, he or she can come to the Chamber of Labor, file a complaint, and he or she will get legal support, any type of support. So I think it's a very interesting institution, something which has a lot to say about what social democracy could be in these days. And the film is an observation of this institution. And then Corona hits. And then quite a lot of things changes, because now the Chamber of Labor itself comes into focus as an employer. What are they doing with for their employees to create working conditions in which they can continue their work, but in which they also can be safe at the same time? So I think that is a very interesting twist in the film, something which creates an additional layer for the film. There is another film by Ananta Titanat, a Thai filmmaker, about a cinema, also a documentary about the dismantling of one of the last standalone cinemas in Bangkok, the Scala. Huge place, more than 1,000 seats, and it's being closed down, not only because of the pandemic, but the pandemic accelerated the process of closing it down. So what we see is the dismantling of the interior of the cinema, the lamps and the lusters and the chairs and the curtains, etc., etc. Sort of sad to watch it. At the same time, there is, of course, an important question we all need to address. I mean, and when I say we all, I mean people who dedicate their lives to cinema. What's going to be, what's the future of cinema? What are we going to do when these great cinema temples, palaces are about to die?
Yeah, that would be actually the question, because this kind of self-reflection on cinema is also a part of many films, so the films thinking about film. And yeah, it's kind of obvious that cinema is changing. The place where people watch films is changing. The whole the reception is changing. So what do you think? In which direction is it going?
Yeah, I think change is not necessarily a bad thing. And I think that, of course, there is change, and a place like the Scala does not work any longer. And I think it's an open process. So I don't have a clear-cut answer to your question. I think nobody really has a clear-cut answer to your question. Of course, online viewing has become more important, which has a lot of advantages, but also a lot of disadvantages. The accessibility of films has improved, which is a good thing. So we can watch films we would have needed to travel to all sorts of places 30 years ago. So potentially, the knowledge about cinema could be bigger now. At the same time, of course, watching a film at home is not the same experience as watching it in a theater. The random encounters you make at a theater, or you can make at a theater, the beauty of talking about films after watching them together, all that is at stake, of course. At the same time, what I find highly interesting is that during the selection process, we didn't have the feeling that filmmakers were producing fewer films, not at all. Mm. And what we clearly perceived was that there is a lot of imagination and a lot of energy to pursue ideas. And that is something very, very alive, very vivid, very active. And I think as long as people are so alive, alert, and vivid, there's always a chance for film culture. It may find other forms and other expressions, but also an observation. I mean, the film is part of the arsenal, as we all know, and I attended quite a lot of screenings in autumn in the Arsenal cinema, and my impression was that people were hungry for that, for well-curated programs, retrospectives, for film history. So there was always, I mean, not a huge crowd, but sort of a crowd, of course, in the framework of the Corona measures. And that was something I found very interesting. And also, maybe it's difficult for art house cinemas. I guess it's a difficult situation for art house cinemas. However, the day Matrix was released in Germany. I'm living quite close to a multiplex cinema. Mm. And it was a blockbuster, literally. People were queuing up like...
oh, really?
Yes, 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 around the block.
Surprising, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and that during pandemic times. So that was really remarkable. So I don't think necessarily that film culture is really at risk. I think a certain type of art house theater might be at risk.
I mean, it's the second year of Corona and the pandemic. Do you see changes? How directors deal this last year and this year with this whole pandemic situation?
Yes, I definitely see these changes. So last year, it was more, the films we saw were that dealt with Corona were more like, okay, this is something which is going to pass. It's something which acquires attention now, but in 2 months' time, it will be over. It was more or less like that. Now it has become pretty clear that it's nothing which will be over in 1 month or 2 months, but the sheer duration has had an effect, has had an impact and took its toll. And there is one moment in the film by Luciana Acuña and Alejo Mogilyansky, my coup de coeur film, Leider Media, in which the character played by Luciana Acuña, who is an artist, a choreographer, dancer, is in the middle of a Zoom call and she explodes and she shouts, but what is post-pandemic art? What are we doing here? What's the sense of what we are doing? And when I watched it, it hit me. It was a little bit like an epiphany. And it became crystal clear that something really has changed, that our perspective on the world, our outlook, also sort of like our subjectivity are affected and they are really deeply affected by the pandemic. Now, when I'm saying this, of course, the we is a fiction because people in Brazil are affected in a different way than people in Berlin. People in Kenya are affected in a different way than people in India. And then there's always like this class question that obviously people who can work at home, who have a certain standard of living, who can afford bigger apartments, are better off than people who have to work in a supermarket. So this we also is a fiction. However, I think the pandemic has, or it has become clear that the pandemic has affected our lives, and not only for a certain moment of time, but also, let's see what happens. But I think we are definitely different now than we were 2 years ago. Mm. It will take a time to process all this. And the films talk about this shift. And that is something I found very interesting. As I said, it was nearly an epiphany when I watched Leider Media.
Mm, yeah. Who do you think is the typical forum audience? We talked a bit about the forum directors, but or the forum films, but who is the audience for forum? What do you think? And who do you want to reach maybe also? Yeah. Not just like who is present, but also looking at what's the aim, the goal.
So I think the forum is perfect for people who look for something in cinema which goes beyond classical storytelling, three-act structures, mainstream cinema. It's for people who enjoy the fact that rules are broken, approaches are playful, new ways of seeing are explored. So for all the people who are curious and who want to see what cinema is capable of, I think it's a perfect place. It's also a perfect place for people who believe in the fact that cinema is something that helps us to think about things. So it has to do with emotions, but it has also to do with creating a space in which discourse, reflection, and thinking, thought, are possible. Now, at the same time, I think it's always important to reach out to new audiences and to open up to new audiences, because in fact, it's not the forum that has to offer something and then we need to reach other people we haven't reached before, and then these other people have to learn and understand the beauty of the forum. It's more that we also have to see what audience we haven't reached so far might want to enjoy. And I think one thing which is important here is our forum special program, which is a continuation of the series Fiktionsbescheinigung, something we came up with last year, in which it's a film program in which we showed films by filmmakers of color or black filmmakers based in Germany or people who had been based in Germany at a certain moment of their life. For instance, Idrissou Moura Pai, who no longer lives in Germany, but who studied in Germany and did a couple of films here, and we showed a film by his. The film program was put together by a group of independent creators of color, black creators, and we did it because we had the feeling that the cultural sphere is, to put it bluntly, far too white and should question its processes of decision making and its ideas of aesthetic quality, etc., etc. And that is a journey we started in 2021 and we continued. So there is in total 11 films, 6 programs dedicated to Fiktionsbescheinigung. And again, it is not a one-dimensional process. It is not that we offer something and then we wish for another audience to join in. It's more like we are in the relationship with the independent curators. We are trying also to learn something about our predilections, about our aesthetic, how shall I put it, predispositions, and to question them. And that is a process which is ongoing, and I think it is reflected in the program Fiktionsbescheinigung.
Yeah, that sounds definitely also very interesting. So maybe as a last question and to end it shortly, why should people come to this year's forum? What can they expect?
They should come because it's fun and insightful. That was only 2 adjectives.
Yay.
I hope that's better.
Yeah, I mean, these days people have short attention spans, so we have to be... Yeah.
Aesthetic pleasure, maybe. That's a good keyword, aesthetic pleasure. We try to provide aesthetic pleasure. And that might also be intellectual pleasure, and sometimes it's just fun.
Yeah. I mean, I guess in one hand, people are looking forward to get out and be in the cinemas and talk to each other. So I hope that...
Can I point out one thing?
Yes.
Because normally we are the section of the festival where a lot of discussions take place. This year, we are a little bit limited in that regard. We will have Q&As after the premiere of a film. Afterwards, we won't have that. However, we have tons of material on our website. So if you want to dig deeper, please feel free to explore the website.
Yes, definitely. I can confirm that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Christina, for this really insightful talk. And we are all looking forward to Berlinale, to the forum, and see what happens this year.
Thank you, Vali, for your questions and for taking your time. And always a pleasure to work with you.
Thank you. Same back.